G'day, I'm Mac, and welcome to episode 352 of EarthPod, coming to you today from Hong Kong, September 15, 2011. And today we're going to take you on a ride on a Hong Kong subway train, amongst others, for this particular episode. I have in my hand now my Octopus card, which is the Hong Kong smart card for their transport system. You can also use it at convenience stores, and you can also use it for things like parking as well, which is quite cool. It's the local equivalent of the Oyster card that London has. And I was reading last night that Sydney has selected their name for their smart card, and the Sydney smart card apparently is going to be known as Opal. And I didn't know that the Opal is actually the state gem of New South Wales. And so apparently that's going to be the name. Some of the other names that were selected, a bit of a worry actually when you think of some of the other names. No Shoes was one of the ones that I remember reading. Oh, there were some absolutely stupid names. Sheila, I think, might have been one of the others. I can't think, but there were some stupid names that people had selected. But Opal, apparently. Okay, so I'm now in the underground section. I've gone through the barriers using my Octopus card, down an escalator, and this station looks very similar to some stations on the Jubilee line on the London Underground. You come down the escalator, and then on either side there's a series of glass doors and glass windows on either side. You actually can't see the tracks, and so the whole idea of these screens is so nobody jumps onto the tracks. And so the whole idea is that when the train arrives, the doors on the train line up, the two sets of doors line up, the ones on the platform and the ones on the train, they line up, and then when they've lined up, the doors open and then people get on and off. And so it relies basically on each train being the same length, and it also relies on the system being correct, and the driver, if there is one. I can't remember if there's a driver on this system or not. I guess I'll have to have a look. We will have to see if there is. I'll go up towards the front and I'll be able to tell you when the train arrives. However, there's two platforms going to the same place. So there's a train arriving on platform number 3. I'm on platform number 4, and the one on platform 3 on the opposite side will arrive first. I'm just taking some photos, as I do. We're heading to Tuk Chung and the Disneyland Resort line. Thank you. Okay, so the doors are open. People are entering and leaving the train. Just looking at the train now. There's a lot of room for standing up in the middle, and the seats go along the walls of the train. And so everyone seems to have a seat. There's not a lot of people standing up. It is 5 minutes to five in the afternoon. I expected it to be rather congested at this point. If the peak hours are different here in Hong Kong, I'm not sure. But I thought that the trains would be a bit more crowded than what they actually are. Right about now, at this time of the afternoon in Sydney, and on many other systems, of course, it would be impossible to see. It would be basically impossible to find a seat. And in some of the systems, the London Underground especially, you are indeed struggling to even find a place to stand. But at the moment, there's plenty of places to stand. Doesn't look to be many places to sit. I'm just trying to see. Just trying to see if they, if the system's automatic or not. Of course, one of the bad things. Of course, there's many good things about this system. It helps to keep the station cooler. These trains appear to be air conditioned. The station definitely is. With the doors and the windows, they go. Okay, the doors are starting to close now. Okay, so the train's about to depart. People are still rushing towards the doors. Doors are closing. Doors are closed. Doors are now closed on the train. And the train is departing. And it is departing in the same direction in which it arrived. And the train has now departed. So with this sort of station, it is pretty much impossible for someone to jump onto the track. So that's an obvious benefit. And it's also an obvious benefit to be able to keep all the air conditioning in the station. Unlike a traditional station where it's underground or above ground, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy for the air to escape. And then again, there's also nowhere for the hot air to escape too as well. This sort of system, to have like the screen doors and everything, is obviously a lot more expensive. It's obviously a lot more safer too. Now I'm standing alongside platform number 4. Just waiting for the sign to turn back into Chinese. There we go. And on platform number 4, we have 11 minutes to wait for the next, or now 10 minutes to wait for the next train, according to the screen. An interesting thing with Chinese is to see is seemingly that they don't deal with the actual numbers very well. And so while the rest of the characters might be in Chinese, anything in minutes or hours or whatever the case may be isn't necessarily in a Chinese character, so you can sort of look at it and figure that out. There's a train that we will catch on I was on platform 3, now I'm on platform 4. There'll be a train in 5 minutes, so it will arrive shortly. The first stop will be Kowloon.
The next train for Tongchong will depart from platform 4.
So there's Kowloon, Olympic.
Please stand in line and let passengers exit from the train. Thank you.
There's Kowloon, Olympic, Nanchiong, Liking, Tsingyai, Sunny Bay, and that branches off for Disneyland and then Tongcheng. So let's have a ride. I'll pretty much leave the next bit sort of uninterrupted and sit back and enjoy the ride. I think the train's actually arriving now.
Thank you.
Your attention, please. Eating or drinking is not allowed on trains or in the paid areas of stations.
Please stand back from the door. Sunny Bay, interchange station for the Disneyland Resort Line. Doors will open on the left.
Thank you.
Here we are, we're at the end of the line at Tung Chung, and people are leaving the train, and the train will soon head back to Hong Kong, and I dare say we do have a driver. So, first impressions. I know I shouldn't judge the whole Hong Kong metro system based on one train trip, but I'm going to do it anyway. The system is very clean. Very clean indeed. Maybe that is because A, it's relatively new, or it looks relatively new, might not be. It looks new. The people seem to respect the system. There's no eating or drinking. Not only on the train itself, but anywhere in what they call the paid area of the station. So basically, as soon as you insert your ticket or use your Octopus card, that is the end of the line when it comes towards eating and drinking. Just having a look around the station, the maximum penalty for smoking is 5,000 Hong Kong dollars, for eating and drinking 2,000 Hong Kong dollars, and for spitting is 5,000 Hong Kong dollars. So even though in for instance Australian terms that's not a lot, to the average citizen I dare say that that is still a fair amount. All of the platforms that I stopped at had the screen doors. All of them were from platform to roof, with the exception of those ones at Sunny Bay. Sunny Bay was an outdoor station, and those barriers were half the height of the ones at the other stations from... Yeah, so they were about half the height. What else? As I said, the trains were very clean. I did notice that the... compared to Japanese passengers, the Japanese passengers seemed very quiet compared to the Chinese. Although then again, I have found personally that the Japanese are a very quiet race compared to the Chinese. I know I've said on a few occasions, I don't see how much this trip costs. $18.20 that trip cost, which in Australian terms, not much at all. Yeah, so in general terms, I have found the Chinese people to be very much noisier, very much more expressive than the Japanese. So safety, that definitely gets a tick. The seats were interesting. The seats were basically stainless steel, no padding on the seats whatsoever. They were like a normal train seat, except they were entirely metal. But they weren't They had no seat padding. No seat padding whatsoever. Which I found to be very interesting. I know a lot of the customers back home, they talk about the seats and how some trains are more comfortable than others, in terms of their seat padding. And they've found that the newer train seats, especially when they're very, very, very new, they are a lot less quiet, a lot less comfortable, I should say. But I dare say that some of them haven't been to a place like Hong Kong where, as I said, the seats have absolutely no padding at all. That was probably a 30-minute trip, which would be fairly typical for a... fairly typical... pardon me, for some Sydney commuters. Obviously, those living in the outer suburbs have a bigger commute than that. And I wonder how a non-padded, basically metal seat would go down in Sydney. I dare say that there wouldn't be a very good reaction. Pardon me. I dare say that there wouldn't be a very good reaction at all. Especially on the non-air-conditioned trains. Can you imagine how hot those seats would be? Trains, air conditioning was good. It worked great. And I'll be heading back soon. I'm just having a look around. Pardon me, I'm just having a look around where I am now. Another good thing that I found out on this occasion about the airport train is that I can actually check in for my flight back to Sydney. I can check in downtown. Pardon me. I can actually check in downtown. And I'm going to have to check with Qantas on this one. But I can actually check in downtown with all my luggage up to the day before travel. Check-in downtown closes 90 minutes before, I think it closes 90 minutes before the departure, before check-in closes at the airport. So theoretically, I can check out of the hotel at where I was staying. I can check out at 12 o'clock. My flight's not until 9 p.m. But what I can do, I can take my bags to the... pardon me. I can take the bags to the check-in at the central station, check the bags in, and then I can do whatever I want. Then I can travel whenever I want to back to the airport. And so my bags will be transported automatically. Oh, pardon me. They will be transported automatically from downtown to the airport and onto the plane. So I don't have to do it from downtown like I normally would. Which is going to be awesome. And I'm definitely looking forward to taking advantage of that service. That is one of the services that the airport line offers for its customers, and so I'm definitely going to take advantage of that service. Anything which sort of relieves me from the bags is good. I dare say that, of course, I think I'm going to get charged excess baggage, but I dare say that they can handle that. Each airline's got their own stand. Each airport has its own check-in desk. So those people will be acting as agents for the airline if it's not actually somebody from the airline itself. Like a subcontractor. And so, yeah, I wonder how the bags, I don't know if there's like a fleet of, there'd probably be a fleet of trucks that would take the bags from the city centre to the airport. So that'll be interesting to find out how that works in practice when I have to do that next week. Always something good to know. And I just found that out by just walking around and having a look around. So anywho, we're not going to finish episode 352 there. I'm going to have a look around and have a look around where I am now. And the next time that you'll hear from me on this episode, we'll be going for a ride on one of the streetcars. That is going to be awesome. Back soon.
Do you love your music at 11? If you love your music at 11, tune in to IRC FM Metal Monday every Monday on Channel IRC. If you love metal, IRC FM Metal Monday brings you metal from Australia and around the world each and every Monday. Don't hate me because I'm metal. ChannelIRC.com. IRC FM Metal Monday.
Welcome back to episode 352 of IRCpod. Coming to you from the Gilman Street tram stop, heading west. In downtown Hong Kong, I am on this Voi Road Central, cross of Wing On Street. For anyone playing along at home. Now, there's actually more tram routes than you'd actually imagine just by looking down where I am at the moment. There's lots of trams, but you'd all think they were going in the same direction, but that's not necessarily the case. I'm at stop 74W, and so I am at Gilman Street, and you can head to, for instance, the ferry, where the ferries go to Macau, or you can go to the Happy Valley Racecourse, or you can go to Times Square. Or you can go to Soho East. You can go to the Western Market. There's even a dried seafood street. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different tram routes. The light green tram route goes from Shea K1 to Western Market. Red goes from Shea K1 to Happy Valley. Dark green goes from North Point to Shek Tong Su. The orange goes from Causeway Bay to Shek Kong Si. The blue goes from Happy Valley to Kennedy Town, and the purple goes from Shek K1 to Kennedy Town. So before we actually get on one of these trams, I should describe them. Of course, many people would be familiar with trams or streetcars, and in a lot of areas, these trams or streetcars are being modernised. Things like air conditioning, power-operated doors, wheelchair ramps, special paint for graffiti resistance and all of that sort of stuff. Lots of different things that the trams are coming out with these days, so everyone can use them. And a lot of these trams are single deck. However, the Hong Kong trams, they are double deck. So they're about the height of a regular double decker bus. However, they are about half the size of a double decker bus in length. There's two sets of stairs, one at either end, and the majority of the windows you can actually open. The trams are painted in all different colours, mainly for the purposes of advertising. And on the back and the front of each tram, there is a sign that tells you in Chinese and also in English where the tram is going. In that case, a blue tram to Western Market just passed me, and now there's a tram passing me heading for Kennedy Town on the green. On the green route. The fares are flat. There's a flat fare of $3.20 Hong Kong dollars for adults. Children's a little bit cheaper than that, as are seniors. And you pay on exit. There's two doors. There's a door on either end. You enter the tram at the rear, and you exit the tram at the front. You pay your money either by dropping the coin or coins into the slot, or you can pay with your Octopus card. As I mentioned earlier, the Octopus card is the smart card for public transit here in Hong Kong. The interesting thing about the Octopus card that I didn't mention yesterday is that in some of the areas that I've been to, for instance Tokyo and also London, you can get your smart card from a machine, whereas the Octopus card here in Hong Kong, you must buy it off a person. Slight correction, $2.30 for an adult, $1.20 for a child. For those fares, $2.20 and $1.20. The trams are very regular. There's a lot of trams going up and down the street for various destinations. Depending on the route, they run from about 5:30 in the morning until about midnight. So the streets of Hong Kong are very congested, as you can imagine. The centre of this road, Des Box Road Central, is used pretty much exclusively by the tram, sometimes by the buses, although there are areas where the road traffic by necessity must encroach the tram line. But overall, so far, on what I've seen, the trams seem to get through okay. But we will see as we head somewhere. Oh, there's a healthy street west and a healthy street east. That's funny. While we're here just waiting for a tram, I'm going to jump onto the next tram that heads towards Kennedy Town, because that will give us maximum bang for our buck, so to speak. The vast majority of the buses in the centre of Hong Kong are actually double deck, all very modern looking. I was out in the suburbs earlier on in the episode, as you heard, and they do have some single deck buses there, but by and large, double decker buses are the way to go, as I see a taxi with a registration plate, November Oscar Tango, the number 2, Bravo Echo, not to be. I thought that was quite funny. Lots of modern vehicles on the road. The oldest vehicles that you probably see car-wise would probably be the taxis. Sometimes with the traffic the way things are, there can be a few trams close together and then nothing for a while, so this must be one of these nothing periods. There could be a hold up further along the line somewhere. The tram stops are very very basic. Basically like having a footpath in the middle of the road with a fence to divide, sort of like a fence to, say, just don't walk, a fence to be a fence, yeah, that's what I meant. In fact, I have seen figures that suggest that 90% of people in Hong Kong actually use public transport. Ah, here we go. Here's a bright red thread for AirAsia.com heading to Kennedy Town. So this tram's very crowded, so there obviously hasn't been one for a while. Now I'm upstairs on the tram. It's only very narrow. On the left hand side there's a single row of seats. Then there's an aisle. And then to my right there's two seats. One of those seats I'm about to jump into. Like being on a double-decker bus, it gives you a great view if you're on the upper deck. The seats are very basic. They would be the sort of chairs that you sat on when you're at school. Plastic, bolted down obviously on this occasion. There's grab handles and poles everywhere to grab onto, as it's not uncommon for people to need to stand on the tram. Just waiting for the traffic lights to change so we can turn right into Morrison Street. An interesting feature which I encountered getting onto the tram was that they had a turnstile. Like you'd find entering a shop, for instance. Now, on the tram, as I was saying earlier, you're only charged when you leave the tram, so you could be on the tram for one stop or 20 stops, and it's exactly the same price. So, needless to say, I'm going to take advantage of it. This section of the road is narrower. We've actually got a double-decker bus directly in front of us on the tram tracks. There are many places where the buses can actually use the tram lanes. Height's very similar, but the double-decker buses are longer. We've just passed the ferry terminal to Macau, which is another region that is a special administrative region of China. I was reading up on Macau last night, and until recently, it was actually a Portuguese territory. But now it's basically part of China, but it is run as a separate region, much like Hong Kong is. So if I take a ferry to Macau across the water, it is effectively like going to another country, and I do need to take my passport and I do need to get it stamped if I was to go over there. So that would be another country for the country count. Thank you. as is or would be common in Hong Kong, it is extremely hot. It's a very hot. I haven't seen an actual temperature, but it's at least 30 degrees Celsius to about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. The tram isn't air conditioned, unlike many of the other forms of transport. However, with the windows that open when the tram is actually in motion, there is a nice breeze that comes through the open windows. And unlike some systems that I can think of, you can actually, if you wanted to, you can stick your whole head out, as there's no restriction on how big the gap is of the window. Of course, that's not a very good idea, but it is indeed possible.
Jangan lupa like, share, dan subscribe.
Remember how I think I said on the double-deck bus in London that one of the cool things to do, one of the prize seats is in the very front row of the upper deck, above where the driver is? Well, that's the seat that I'm now in, so I'm going to enjoy this seat, take some photos, and I'll be back with another form of transport very, very soon. Oh, lady tram driver.
Dave Evans on Judy's Blast FM. You're listening to One Rockin' Lady right here. Rock it.
Welcome back to episode 352 of ErkPod, coming to you once again from downtown Hong Kong. I am now on the number one bus. I was on the tram for a lot longer after I stopped recording. I ended up going down to Kennedy Town, which was nothing really special. It was just basically another suburb of inner city Hong Kong. And then I stayed on the same tram because the tram basically did a loop of Kennedy Town. And then I stayed on the tram until the end of the route in the other direction, which was Happy Valley. And Happy Valley, not sure why it's called Happy Valley, had a strange smell. Not exactly sure what it was. And so now I'm on a number one bus. Just like the tram, it has a flat fare of $3.40. And I'm sitting upstairs, on the upper deck out the front, so that's rather awesome. Anywho, so I think I'll leave it there. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. I'll just let the recorder run for a bit longer. See you next time. Good night, Interweb.